Support for WMC comes from Browns Ford in Amsterdam and Johnstown. Working for a sustainable future with electric and hybrid vehicles at their EV centers, we make it easy. BrownsFord.com.
Zsa's Kids provides a safe and loving home, nurturing community, and access to education for children who once lived on the street. Their big fundraiser is coming up, Nurturing Dreams with Education, happening October 19th at Revolution Hall in Troy. It's a brunch event that will support Zsa's Kids' educational advancement. The event includes a brunch buffet, artwork by Zsa's Kids, and African crafts for sale. The keynote speaker is our dear friend Paul Grondahl, esteemed author, director of the New York State Writers Institute, and Albany Times Union columnist. Plus, there will be updates and videos from the executive director, Diane Reiner, regarding the recent visit to Uganda. To tell us more, we welcome the president of Zsa's Kids, Diane Reiner, to the program. Hello, Diane. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Thank you.
It's really wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for being here. Also, board president Connie Frisbee Hood joins us. Good morning, Connie. How are you?
Good morning.
It's great. Actually, go to five. We'll go to that mic. Mic five. There you go. All right.
Okay.
It's wonderful to see you. Thank you so much for being here. And we also welcome, via phone from Uganda, Africa Program Director Ronnie Sarienge. Ronnie, hello. How are you?
I'm very fine, Mr. Joe, and it is a pleasure to be on the radio. Thank you.
It's a wonderful pleasure for us to have you. So I don't know who wants to tell this story, but Ronnie's supposed to be a part of the big event on the 19th, and visa was denied.
His visa was denied. He went into the U.S. Embassy in Kampala on the 25th of September, thinking he'd pick up his visa, as he's done many times before, and it was rejected.
What do you make of that, Ronnie?
Well, kind of disturbing, but a lot is going on in the world. But I'm so thankful that you giving me an opportunity of speaking to the people that has been behind the organization for a long time. I'm sorry I'm not going to be there with you, but I want to use this platform to thank you so much for being always there with us, and we'll try to do some magic to be on a live Zoom with people in the fundraiser on that day. But it was not good for me to not get a visa. Yeah.
Well, we're glad we have you and that you'll be a part of the event still. Again, October 19th, a brunch event. And Diane, I guess, give us a sense. I just want to tell people, we're going to be talking about it a lot, but Zsa's Kids, that is spelled J-A-J-J-A-K-I-D-S. And that's also the website, which is Zsa's Kids, JAJJASKIDS.org. And you can find out more information there. I realized as I was saying it, no, it's not Zsa. So give us a sense of this event. And I mean, the first thing you said to me when you sat down was, "This has been a long journey."
Yep, it has been a long journey. Ronnie and I met 19 years ago. Really quickly to say, I went to Uganda for a photography workshop. Wanted to go into the slums. Ronnie was my guide, and we ended up bonding. And here we are, 19 years later, with a home for children. And it started out slowly. We had programs in the slums for kids, and that was band-aiding a problem, not fixing it. So we developed the home in 2012. And today we have 20 kids that have been part of the program, and four of them are in university right now. We started out with little kids, and they are now growing fast. We have a permanent home, and it's been an incredible journey. And the fact that, as Ronnie was saying, the fact that we have such support has made this happen. So we have four kids in university right now. Two more are graduating in December. We'll be there in university next year. And we have eight kids in high school and one still in primary school.
And the unusual part of our program is that we follow these children as far as they are capable of going education-wise. Many programs take them through grade six, and then they're on their own. And this program hopefully is giving them a leg up so that they can go out into the world as young people. And all of them want to really give back, knowing what they have received, which is quite remarkable to see how much they really understand what it has been for all of the donors here in the U.S. that have helped them out.
And just another point of fact, too, is that the statistics are that only 25% of the population in Uganda graduate from primary school, and only 25% graduate from high school. So our kids are statistics that are out of the ordinary for sure.
What I read it at the beginning of talking about offering a safe and loving home, nurturing community, and access to education for children who once lived on the street. That idea of being street children, what struck you to say that was something that you wanted to be that you wanted to address and to try to help in some way?
Well, it became quite apparent the economic difference between our two countries meant that it would not take much to help these kids have a better life. And actually, a university education in Uganda is $5,000 a year. So for a total of $48,000, I just figured that out. Our budget for education for next year is $48,000, which will be six kids in university, eight kids in high school, and one in primary. And the key to that is that there is no free education. So we have to pay for primary school. We have to pay for high school. So for a total of $48,000, we're educating 15 kids next year at very high levels.
How long ago were you in Uganda?
I was there last month.
And what did you come back with, the thoughts of that particular trip and what you witnessed?
Above all, what I witnessed was the incredible unity that these children have with each other. They've lived together as brothers and sisters for 12 years. We started with 10 12 years ago, and then in the next 4 years we got another 10. So we've had 20 kids overall. They are brothers and sisters with each other. They're caring for each other. Their camaraderie, it's just profound to watch that. They love each other. They're a family together. It's a very large family, but they're a family together. And the staff that support them are wonderful. They're just, they're just sharing so much caring for each other. It was remarkable to see. And the other thing that I was really struck by was how much, Connie just mentioned, how much these kids want to give back. The interviews that I did that we're going to show at the fundraiser on Sunday, they're very clearly wanting to give back because of what was given to them. They don't take it for granted for a minute. They still remember what their life was like before Jaja's kids. And they're very, very clear in wanting to make a difference for somebody else because it happened to them.
For you, Ronnie, being on the ground and witnessing this close up, what strikes you of what has occurred over these many years that you've been working with Jaja's kids and with Diane?
Thank you very much. What keep pushing me to do what I do is you look at the energy of the people that are supporting us. You know, like right now, you invited us on the radio station. They have been asking me here, Uncle, how are you going to do that? would they listen to what you're saying? I was like, you know, things will work out, you know? Mm-hmm. So the energy, the love from people back in the U.S., you know, it gives the sense of what giving back someday. Because some of the kids, they ask a lot of questions that, how can we keep talking about, you know, supporting people, supporting one another? What does that mean? So it is the same thing, kids, you know, on and on. I said the last fundraiser was in the U.S. that United States people that supporting children in my organization everywhere, they are installing hope into the future. They are investing love, everything. I don't usually call it money or material. I look at the point of investing, love one another and support one another. So the fundraising that has been going on for all these years, whenever I come to the fundraising, I get more energy, I become more strong with what I do. And it's good that I'm seeing that even in the children that we've been supporting since from day one we started this. So that keeps me going. And we had a very wonderful time with Lillian Diane and Mr. Douglas. I could tell there were a lot of questions, and it's unexplainable. That's the way you can say it.
Yeah.
It's unexplainable.
Well, and it's something
but
that
thank you so much, Mr. Joe. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I've been thinking very much of how I can speak myself to the world this time round. But thank you for giving me the opportunity to share how I feel to the rest of the people in the world. Thank you, everyone that is listening, that's supporting the Jazz Kids, even those that are supporting other programs. Please, thank you so much for investing love and support for the new generation in future.
Well, thank you so much. And we so appreciate you being with us and talking about what it is that you're doing and what it is that you're witnessing. Connie, tell us a little bit about the event itself and how people, as Ronnie just mentioned, of the people who are helping and want to help, of how this assists in that effort.
Well, we have one fundraiser of the year. And so whatever we make at the fundraiser helps us out for the rest of the year. And we are fortunate that we have a core group of people that have been supporting us. We keep wanting to add more people, and being on the radio such as this, we're hoping that we can inspire some others to come. It's a busy weekend, and people are involved with many other things, but we're hoping that we can get more people to sign up to come. And when Diane and Doug were in Africa, they bought baskets and some other items that will be for sale. And the kids have done some wonderful artwork that we're matting and will be available to purchase. The kids are very artistic, which is kind of, it's very fun to see how much they've grown in their drawings that they have always done for us.
I think it's great you're doing a brunch event. That's good.
Yeah, it's more our culture, I think. You know, I've been laughing, thinking about big fancy galas people have when they have fundraisers, and ours is a Sunday brunch.
Yes.
It feels like our culture.
Yeah, and it's and certainly accessible, and will so much be going on. Let me ask you, Diane, of what you see your future plans being of how, I mean, obviously continue the work, but are there other future projects that you want to address as well?
Well, our goal really is to help these kids get through their education. And we've continued to make that decision to stay with the kids that we have, rather than, you know, it's quality over quantity. And many organizations, as Connie referred to before, will take a kid through primary school and then that's the end of it. It doesn't really help their overall future in a way that's needed. So we're focusing on continuing to have these 20, well, now 16, 15 kids that keep mm-hmm. graduating out, to supporting them so that they can stand on their own with a good education. We have kids studying law and pharmacy and engineering now. Next year, we're going to have somebody in business school at the university. These kids are excited to have a future. They work really hard. And so what we want to do is to help them. And the future of the organization is really theirs. They own the house that we built for them 6 years ago. There's an NGO there, and they're the ones in charge of their future. We're supporting it, but they're the ones giving the direction.
Well, it's beautiful work that you're doing. I thank you so much for sharing it with us, and I hope people can join you on this Sunday, October 19th, at Revolution Hall in Troy. You can find out more at jajaskids.org, JAJJAKIDS.org. Our thanks to Diane Reiner, Connie Frisbee-Hood, and Ronnie Sarienge. Thank you so much, all. Have a beautiful event. We so appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.